Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, taste to see that the Lord is good. Blessed are the man that trusteth in him. Oh, I magnify the Lord. I praise your holy name. For we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to talk about your word. We love you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together one more time, God of heaven. Lord, we ask you to bless, continue to bless Bread of Heaven as our endeavor to do God's will. Help us, Lord Jesus, in these days, in these trying times, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We love your word. We love you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just ask you, Lord Jesus, to come by and visit us, Lord. We don't come with man's wisdom. We're not showing off, Lord Jesus. We're just coming, Lord Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and loving on one another and just supporting one another and trying to encourage one another as we go through this journey of life. Lord Jesus, there's so many people that have different things that they're dealing with. Lord Jesus, God of heaven, you're big enough to handle everybody's problem at the same time. Oh, God of heaven, we love you, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to be gracious. You didn't have to show mercy. You didn't have to show compassion. You didn't have to forgive us, but you did. And therefore, we're grateful for you, Lord Jesus. We just ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless today's Bible class. We want to continue to pray for those in the Bread of Heaven, all the members, everybody who are going through things, maybe illness or with their jobs or with their parents or with their children or with their workload. God of heaven, Lord, you're able to touch, you're able to come in and just be personal with us, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just thank God that you came and that you didn't just come, you died for us, Lord. You gave your life for us, Lord, and you just love us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we're grateful for you. You love us before we knew you, Lord Jesus. Before we loved you, you loved us and you died. While we were yet sinners, you died for us, Lord. And help us, Lord Jesus, just to have hope in these last days. You know, so much is going on in the news. You can get trouble if you get your eyes off of the prize, Lord Jesus. Well, we want to continue to just hold on to our faith. And we know that God is in control. We have all type of stories. You didn't allow Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Ghost, and they dropped dead. And there was this, think it was a Herod. I think he was one of the Herods, and he had this costume, or he had this robe that was made of fine silver. And he gave an orientation, and people began to say, "This is a God talking. This is the God." And you came down, and you sent an angel that struck him with worms and maggots from the inside of his body. He dropped dead. So if there's breath in anybody's body who's doing wrong, you're allowing it. You're allowing it. You're in control of everything. You're in control of the world. Not just America, you're in control of all the nations. So we need to be reminded, you are the King of Kings. There are many kings, but you are the King of Kings. You're the one that got up out of their grave. Nobody did what you did. And if that same spirit that got you out of their grave dwelleth inside of me, how much power you and I will have, those who have become sons of God. Oh God of heaven, Lord, I ask you to bless, Lord. Bless my family. Bless, remember my boys. Remember my boys, Lord. Keep them safe. Keep them, save them, sanctify them. Fill them with your spirit, God. Protect them from violence. Protect them from car wrecks. Protect all the saints, Lord. Protect the little kids. Protect my little grandkids, all of my little grandbabies, Zoe, and all my nephews. and my nieces. Watch over them and keep them and guard their minds. We don't know why certain things happen the way they happen, but we do know God is in control. You're in control, Lord. And blessed assurance, you are mine. You are mine. I can lay my head down at night because of your love and grace. I can go to sleep. I can look at myself in the mirror because of your grace. I can have peace with myself because of your grace. You're an awesome God, and I love you dearly, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that I'll continue to grow, that I continue to walk with you, Lord Jesus, and that I won't slip back into wherever I was in life, that darkness, Father. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for all things. I thank you for being a healer. By your stripes, we were healed. The Bible says we were, and one scripture says we are healed. You took 39 licks, they plowed your back for my healing, for our healing. I thank you for healing, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for understanding that if we die, we will yet live. That the outward man dies daily, but the inward man grows. From the time that I was little and as a baby, my cells began to age. And Lord Jesus, it's not what's on this earth, Lord. It's not what's on this earth. When we die, we can't take nothing with us. We can't take nothing with us. They said a hearse never follows a house, something like a house never follows a hearse. All that we have, Lord Jesus, we want to live so that we can live again, so that we can see our saved loved ones, Lord. And we're not going to be concerned about what this world is doing. This world is just jacked up. It's always tried to live. Even the UN has tried to live and govern itself without a God. Israel tried to do it. They wanted a king, and now the world wants. They want to govern themselves without a God. You're the God of this earth. The Bible says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. The Bible says, look unto the hills from which cometh your help. The help cometh from the Lord who made. Hallelujah to God. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to God. So we will not faint. We will not falter. We will not slip. You said men ought to always pray and not faint. We ought to always pray and not quit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we just love you, Lord. We love you for everything that you're doing. And Lord Jesus, you could just heal brokenness, a broken heart, a broken spirit. You can heal it. You said you wouldn't despise it, you won't turn it away. One of the writers said we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy because we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ. Not a priest, not no bishop. I don't have to go between. You are the go-between. You are the intercessor. For you told Peter. Peter was so gun built, he was just bit that he was gonna do, Lord, I die for you. I ain't like everybody else. And he meant what he said, but the flesh can only go but so far. And he took that man, he chopped his ear off. He chopped his ear off. And he was aiming to chop his head off. So Peter meant what he said. But like again, your flesh can only go but so far. Things have to be one in the spirit. And you took that ear, you put it back on his face, on that soldier's face, and he told him, Peter, you live by the sword, you're gonna die by the sword. And Peter, by the end of the day, he was cussing. I don't know this man. And he told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil wished to sift you as wheat. He said, but I pray that your faith fail you not. So you are our intercessor, Lord, and we give you the thanks. We give you the honor. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you, Lord, for his leadership. We thank you for the elders. We thank you for the ministers. We thank you for the saints who come. And we just ask you to continue to bless Bread of Heaven, that we can be an oasis for a time such as this, in Jesus' name. Okay, hello everybody. I know you're on mute, so
hello.
I'm gonna say hello everybody. I'm having to hold my phone. You know, this brother don't have a laptop, and it's just really my fault. I had a laptop and I broke it, and I haven't restored it. So I hope you all can see me well enough. I'm just grateful that be here on Bible class tonight. Have notes before me, which is kind of funny. I want to talk about the importance of knowing the word, the importance of knowing the word. I want to talk about some things that I began to study. And it's so funny how when you study the word of God, you just like, man, I never saw that. I didn't see that at first. But David said, in Psalms 119, verse 11, and this is what the topic is going to be about. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." We're going to talk about hiding the word in your heart. But before we dab into that, I'm going to take you to certain scriptures. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, we're going to just read it all. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. He set him in a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." So here the devil's going to quote Psalms 91. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So when Jesus, he was quoting Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 16. And when he was earlier in the verse 4, he was quoting Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 3. And I'm going to go ahead and finish it off about what, you know, about this, the three temptations. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto them, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence." As a matter of fact, he said, "Get out of here." And he said, "Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So upon reading that, the way I think is like, I noticed that Jesus kept saying, "It is written." And he didn't do that with the other scriptures. You know, Jesus spoke the word when the money changers was in the temple and they were just, you know, profiting off of the sacrifices. He quoted the scriptures. He said, "My house should be called the house of prayer." But you made the dens of thieves. And it was two different scriptures, and I got scriptures everywhere, just ripped. And I'll probably come back to where what scripture was quoted. Two different scriptures was quoted. So, when he died on the cross, he said, my father, why have thou forsaken me? And that was Psalms, I believe 21. But in this instance, he will say, it is written. So I said, well, why is this the only time Jesus said it is written instead of, and then the way I think, I said, why didn't he just quote the scripture? Man should not live by bread alone. But he didn't say, he said, it is written on all three instances. It is written. So it is written means something. He was talking to the devil himself. And when it says it is written, it was like it's the authority, it was his respect and authority for the word of God. That the word of God was God talking. So when you say it is written, it is established, it's a foundation, it's sure. He said, I'm not a man that I could lie. He said, but the son of man that I could repent. He says he's not a man. He says, if I say it, it shall come to pass. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to quote it just like I see it. So Jesus respected the scriptures of the word of God. And John makes it so clear. Let's go to John, the first chapter. The word of God, this Bible is who God is. He's not a part of this world. He's not a part of his word. And we all know the scriptures. We learned this is apostolic. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and in darkness comprehended it not. And to go down to verse 11. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. That's Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Even to them that believe on his name. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word is God, and God is the word. The word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. And Jesus can never go against his word. He will never go against what the word is, what he has spoken. He's synonymous with the word. And he said, everybody talks about how Jesus and God cannot, he could do anything. But there's one thing God can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And so it's imperative, it is very important that we know what's inside this here book, this book, this Bible. We need to know what's in this Bible. The Lord just shared this with me. And what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about from a pastor standpoint. I'm just talking about as a brother in the Lord. Look, if you want God to bless you, just get into that Bible. Get into that Bible. You will just be so blessed by it. So here we see that when Jesus was talking to the devil, and what I like about these different gospels, like if y'all notice, he was called the tempter. The devil's called the tempter. And then Jesus called him the devil, then called him Satan. It was all the same thing. And when the enemy comes against you, and when things are happening, it is not our position to have a conversation, a reason, to say it is written. In my lifetime, I've seen people ask for keys to the church. And they asked the pastor, I want to come in here and I want to pray on Saturdays by myself, or might have somebody that'll go along with them. and they'll be praying and fasting for a husband. And sometimes they'll be fasting and praying for somebody else's husband. And they're doing all this stuff in vain, and they think they're really being led by God. They really something. They had this dream that we were together. We was running around in the fields holding hand. And this infatuation, whatever this thought was, it came from hell because God will never go against his word. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people just, they get a key and they go praying and go to praying, Lord, Lord, Lord. And it's not of God. It's not of God. God would never contradict his word. He will stand on his word. So the Bible tells us, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So I'm gonna give me little notes out. You know, I keep notes horrible. You would think I was real smart because I can't keep no notes. So I might go over back because I don't want to miss that. Jesus was often, he often quoted the scriptures from the Old Testament, but he never said, thou sh it is written. When he said, my house should be called the house of prayer, that's in the book of Isaiah, the 56th chapter, verse 7. It says, but you have made it a den of things. That's in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, verse 11. He spoke the word. And it's in Psalms 22, 1. My father, why has thou forsaken me? I don't know if I said that correctly. I said Psalms, something. I don't remember what I said. It says, but Mark 4 tells us Jesus kept saying, it is written. So let me tell you why I'm even teaching this, y'all. Because to me, it's like, you know, it's very class, it's like a classroom. One day I was praying. I was just up in my room, and the Lord, I mean, I heard him say, Gerald, my word don't have hiccups. And I don't even, I didn't, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. So I got on my phone. I started looking up what happens when you have hiccups, you know, just what's going on. Because I heard it. I heard it. My word doesn't have hiccups. And to this day, I really don't have a revelation on it. But he did show me this. He said, when the devil came against me, he said, I just leaned back. He said, I leaned back into the word. It is written. The authority is, it was written that whatever the devil was trying to do in deception and lies, it was written. And it's undeniable, it's strong. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. That is how sure, such a sure foundation the word of God is. And we need to get into this word and ask God to open this word up for us. So that's why I said, he said, man, my word is power. My word is who I am. You cannot even get to know me if you don't read your Bible. You can't even understand, and you will not pass tests if you don't know the scriptures. So let me see. The word of God will always be in harmony with each other. Christ will never go against his word. And already talked about it. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The importance of knowing the word, to know the Lord is to know his word. My people perish, they die because they have lack of knowledge. In Numbers 23, like I said, God is not a man that he should lie. He said, if I said it, it shall come to pass. And so I want to talk about the benefits of hiding the word in your heart. There are benefits in hiding the word in your heart, like David hid the word in his heart. He said, so that I may not sin against you. One of the benefits of hiding the word in your heart, it brings refreshment and joy spending time with God's word. It can renew your relationship with God, and it'll bring you joy. You know how sometimes, you know, we get in a funk and we don't know what's going on. We just get like, It may be a spirit, it may not be a just spirit, just might just you're just human. If anybody say they 100% every day, they save, they feel full of joy, full of the word every day, they're not telling the truth. They're not really being honest. So whatever time when it was, it may be circumstances or situations will make you kind of feel you're not depressed, but you're like kind of in a funk. So when you begin to read the word, spend time with the word, meditate on the word. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn new scriptures. We have our go-to scriptures. We all know, we just have go-to scriptures. We could just quote it just like that. But what about the scriptures that should we not learn more scriptures? So I've been working on Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 7. I believe it's verse 7. If it's not verse 7, it's verse 8. And see, even in that, I got to perfect that. It's like, it's just a simple scripture, but I love the way I just love it. The Bible, it says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall live forever. And that's just powerful to me. And it's another scripture that I'm working on. It's out of the 23rd chapter of Matthew's, and it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets, thou stone." It may have said, "See, I got to quote it right. Thou stonest the prophets, or kill the prophets." One of them said, "You have killed those that I sent for you." He said, "Well, I would have loved to gather you together unto me as children." And he says, "As a hen takes her chickens under her wings, but you would not." So I'm trying to memorize that. I'll probably be better at it probably next week. But let's try to learn the Bible. Let's learn this thing. So one of the benefits of hiding the word in your heart and hiding your word, what does that mean? It means to meditate and to memorize. And not just to the preacher. We expect the pastor to get up and quote and teach and quote and teach. And I'm on E, y'all. I'm on E. Lord, pastor, come and fill me up. Put more power and gas in me. No. Man, you got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. It's something called the unction. Woo, my God. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. It's power. And you could go home and you could read the Bible and you're not going to, it ain't going to hurt you to read the Bible. You're not going to start thinking weird stuff. Yeah, it's good. And as a matter of fact, everything that our pastor teaches us, we need to proof it. I said that. We need to prove that he's saying what's in that Bible. I know we read from the scriptures. It's the reason why I said it. It's so many churches. They idolize pastors, and the pastors, they say some pretty weird stuff, and you'll just believe it because, I just love my pastor. I know he's a man of God. But see, the devil's slick. Here, you got to try that spirit by the word of God. So another benefit, it's a whole lot, but I'm just gonna cut it down to about five of them. Say five. Says another benefit for hiding the word in your heart, it'll give you guidance and wisdom. It'll give you guidance and wisdom. In career making, in who to marry or when to marry, or how to not spend so much money. Put some money to a side. Start giving more. You're not giving enough. It'll give you wisdom, and it'll guide you. It'll guide you by spending time in God's word. So it also will protect you from sin. You get this word in your heart, and you start quoting the scriptures, and you start seeing what the scriptures say. A lot of people who are not. They're not word based. If you don't see it in the Bible, you don't know that it's true. Like you could be hateful and unforgiving, And if you don't read that, what the Bible says about being unforgiven, that you are like a murderer. You know, Jesus said, the law says, thou shalt not kill. He said, but I say, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a killer. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that something that it's the same thing? That's why I've always said when people say grace, oh, we under the dispensation of grace. And usually people are saying that they're like, God's tolerating us now. But no, grace is the thing of the heart. It's not the thing, it's the thing of the heart. If I didn't know the word and being high-tempered, I would think, oh, I'm just high-tempered. But then I know the word when the word says a man who cannot control his temper is like a city without walls. That's what the word says about high-tempered people. There's no protection. There's no harmony. The enemy can just come in and go out as he will. You don't have anything to protect you because you're led through your emotions and anything can just flop off. And the devil could just steal from you your joy. All somebody got to do is say something crazy to you. And then all your Holy Ghost is gone. And that's like a man who, that's like a city without protection. Where is the stability? Where's the singleness of heart? And if I didn't know that, I wouldn't even check myself. I wouldn't even think about it. So I'm gonna go on. It causes spiritual growth. The Bible talks about building up your most holy faith. It talks about speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit, building up your faith. And I know that's somewhere in the scriptures, but you also reading this Bible, reading the Word of God. And I tell you, you want to know what's the most beautiful stories or the most beautiful way of changing your character, your attitude, becoming more like Christ? Just read the letters of Paul. Paul was an awesome person. You know, he's really a hero. They said he knew like eight languages. And if you listen to the letters of Paul while he was under house arrest, he was so tender towards the saints. He would encourage the saints to love on one another. Love, love, love. And the letters, the epistles that he wrote to the church, sometimes they didn't even know Paul. They just knew him by his letters. If he had showed up, they wouldn't know who he was. And he pushed us loving one another. And you really don't hear that a lot. You hear the Old Testament and you hear stuff like, but and people kind of, you know, in the day and time that we live in, you know, it's the culture we live in. When I look at, I like Judge Judy. I'm about to go off the rail. I like Judge Judy, but she's mean. She's smart, but she mean. She'd say, I don't give a rat whatever behind. She just say, she's got a sharp tongue. And that's the culture. I'm gonna give another reality show, Hell's Kitchen. Oh, I forgot the guy's name. And he just cussed them. He'd be cussing them people out.
Gordon Ramsay.
What's his name?
Gordon
Gordon. Gordon.
Ramsay.
You ain't been cussed to Gordon has cussed you. He'll cuss you out here till you get out of his face. And it's all and all they're trying to do is win this contest so they could be a master chef. So it's some good in it, but the culture saying the meaner you are, the harder you are, that's just what's acceptable. And I'm gonna even do one better than that. You could tell I'm at home sometime watching TV. Bar Rescue. Somebody have a bar, have a restaurant, and the food's nasty. And they ask this man to come in. I don't know his name. He's some potbelly guy. And he'll come in, he'll cuss a hole, and everybody tell him their food is nasty. They just horrible, wasting his time. And it's part of a show. And then he fixes it for him. He hires in the right people and he fixes it for him. So that's the culture. But you know what? God's word and God's people precedes the culture. We're beyond. We don't do what the culture. So I had to get out of my head about Donald Trump because I know I'm supposed to be politically correct. We're talking about spiritual things, but Donald Trump was getting me depressed. I was getting depressed, and then I started thinking about what I told you all earlier in the prayer. If God wanted him dead, he'd be dead as a doorknob. If God wanted him dead, he'd be dead. So if he ain't dead, it's God's purpose. Amen. So I'm gonna go back to some more benefits. I hope I ain't. How am I doing? How many hours? Am I going too long? Somebody unmute me and tell Pastor, tell me unmute me. Say how many more minutes I got?
You good? You got it's 20. It's you got 20 more minutes
Okay,
before
well now
20
I'll
minutes
be
to end.
way before the end. Okay, hiding the word in your heart is like a it would bring spiritual growth. And everybody needs spiritual growth. The thing about walking with God, there's no, you can't be stale. You can't just be how you're losing weight and you say, my goal is to be, I'm gonna lose 20 pounds, and then you lose 20 pounds, and then you don't just stay there. You're gonna either lose 20 pounds, you're gonna lose more, or you're gonna gain some of it back. And that's how it is walking with God. It's no stalemate. It's no like, I'm just chilling. I'm just not gonna do nothing. So when you're just doing nothing, you're in bad shape. But when you have a desire to do something for the Lord, or say like if sin is in your life, say like you got a sin in your life. And when I say that, I don't know what your sin is, but you have something that you're a good person. You love the Lord. You pray every day. You go to church, but there's something in your life. And then you feel condemned by it. You're like, Lord, every time I pray to you, that thing keeps coming up. Lord, take that thing from me. And so people who are going through that, the process of that, and then one day God delivers you. But I'm gonna tell you, somebody lost, they'll do something, they ain't got no conscience. Yeah, I did it. Whatever. We're under grace. And you just keep on doing it. You look up the first time you do something, you say, well, God didn't strike me down. And then you'll have somebody come by and say, oh, it ain't wrong, ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, it's nothing wrong with fornication. It's not wrong with lying. You can drink a little bit. It's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the word. That's from Satan. That's from the world. You feel what I'm saying? So the word of God causes spiritual growth. And when I say spiritual growth, it means I gotta forgive folk who I don't want to forgive. I gotta walk in forgiveness. The Bible says, 1 John 4:7-8. For us to love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that love is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So I can't say I know God, and I hate people. So that's called spiritual growth. You got to bury the hatches. And see, the world's just the opposite. You do something to me, you go low, we go lower. That's the culture we're in today. But God's word, the Bible says, let every man be a lie. God's word is true. It's so established. I mean, and it's everything that you can go through is in that Bible. Every resource, everything, we all these people's different lives and all this different stuff is right here in the Bible. There's nothing in this Bible that you've gone through that's not in this Bible. And the remedy is in this word. And just fall in love. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is, why people don't read the Bible like they should. Because it's thou this and thou yea and ye and thou and yo and thou yea ho. And we don't talk like that. So we kind of been taught, well, don't get nothing but a King James. And then say, we say, okay, but then we don't read because we don't know what it's saying. But because we don't even talk like that today. We don't say, yea, thou sayest, and thou, And so get you a new King James Revised Bible so that stuff can make sense to you. It ain't gonna put you in hell. It ain't gonna cause you to backslide. And the Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. We need to know what this Bible is saying because this Bible is not like a novel. It's not like any book in your at your house. This Bible is spirit. It's God. They sang this song when Jesus was some song they sung way back in the 90s, and he decided to die. He would not come down from the. Does anybody remember that song? Then some then girls say, but he decided to die. No, he had already he was destined to die. Even when he was suffering, when he was saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He yielded. He said, not my will, but thy will. He honors his word. He honors his word. He honors his word. He honored his word then. He honors his word even today. Now, when you read your Bible, you get encouraged. It comforts you. And we need comfort. That's what that Holy Ghost is. We need to be comforted. Things happen in our lives. We miss loved ones. You have you'll laugh one, like somebody, I heard somebody say, you laugh one day, then you laugh and cry in the same day. You need comforting. You need comforting. You need comforting. And it's through the word of God and encouragement. The word of God will encourage you. You say, well, man, did Job go through this? I believe I can go through it. Did Paul go through this? I believe I can go through it. Paul was such an awesome person. He said, I was in danger amongst family members. I was in danger. Now, he said, I was in danger amongst strangers, and I was in danger amongst my own people. He said, I was in danger on land. I was in danger in sea. And where he was just everywhere he went, he was in danger. Perils. He called it perils. It was somebody trying to kill him. Some was trying to kill him wherever he was. It was such a spiritual attack on him. It was some men that fasted and prayed to his demise. It was a group of men. That's all they did was pray and fast that Paul would die. That's spiritual warfare. You see what I'm saying? That's power. And power, and another thing I love about Paul, he went to heaven. And I think this is so, I love this. I love, and I kind of relate my daughter to this a little bit. My daughter, what I love about my daughter, she will not tell nobody she is an attorney. She said, Dad, I won't tell anybody. If we go somewhere, I just will not tell a person what my job is. She said, because they treat me different once they find out. And I don't like that. And I love that humility about her. And so Paul, he said, I seen things that's not even lawful for a man to see. Whether I was in the spirit, I know not. Whether I was in the flesh, I know not. So he had died. They stoned him. So he really died. They had stoned him. And they thought he left him for dead and he came back alive. And he said, I saw things that's not lawful for a man to see. He said, but I won't tell you more so you won't think more of me than you should. Woo! That sure ain't me. I've been telling everybody, oh, I saw this. I saw heaven. I saw, oh, I talked to Jesus. You know, that wasn't me. That is how humble this man to God was. And you know what I think that kept him such a good person? He remembered when he had the saints killed. He had them put in jail. He held the coat of Stephen while they stoned Stephen. And he looked up into heaven and says, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God. So I think that made him so humble. And though he didn't walk with Jesus, he's the one that carried this gospel on to the Gentiles. So I got two more. Discernment. Discernment. How many of us need discernment? Some folk got discernment. Some folk don't have a lick of discernment. They think everybody like them. Everybody's in their corner. Don't have a lick of discernment, you know, because people would just, you know, they play games. If the spirit don't tell you, man, this is a setup or this is a con, and they jiving you. You need to know, because the Bible talks about the devil comes as an angel of light. You know, I always said an ugly woman can never tempt me up. An ugly, out of shape woman would never make me want her. You know, it'd be that real pretty girl with the pretty smile, with the pretty words. You know what I mean? So he comes as an angel of light. He comes in what looks good. And I used to say, if you don't like banana pudding, he ain't gonna offer you no banana pudding. But if you like cobbler, he's gonna offer you the cobbler. He ain't gonna say, let me give him this banana pudding with worms. That's not how the devil operates. He tempts us with the desires, fleshly desires that we have. So the word of God will give you discernment. And the word of God, I'm gonna end it up with, it makes you close to him. When you're close to God, you don't care. You become more bold. I know for me, when I get close to God, when I'm not close to God, I'm very insecure. I'm very insecure. My sister will tell you, I'm very insecure. But when you get close to God, you feel invincible. Oh, glory. You feel invincible through him or in him. You have a different disposition. You don't, what I love about him and what I love about these scriptures, you know, like, look, I'm gonna go back to like, I'm wrapping it up. But don't you know, every time we have Bible class, I'm learning more and more about something that I taught or somebody else taught. So, did y'all know in the fourth chapter of Matthew, now I'm not changing the subject, I'm just wanting to show you something. The fourth chapter of Matthew, what I just read. The Bible says John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He baptized Jesus, and the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. And there for 40 days, I'm not into numbers because, you know, New Age is into that number stuff. So people say, well, 52 means this and 77 mean that, you know, but 40 days does mean judgment. And he fasted for 40 days. And it was while he was in the wilderness, they came and Herod came and snatched John and put him in prison. While he was on a mission, and you know, when he, you know, I just never thought about the timing of that. That was the exact timing. While John baptized Jesus, his mission was, once he baptized Jesus, his mission was done. It wasn't like Jesus and him was running around for a few years. It was done. He said, I must decrease so you can increase. And that's exactly what happened. They came and got him. And then when he got out of that wilderness, and then he started going throughout the world, through Galilee and Jerusalem doing his thing, He said, well, are you the one? Should we look for another? That's how that timing was. It was just, so God was about business. God is was about business then. He's about business now. And we ain't got all that time that we think. I love how my sister, I call her my sister. Y'all can deal with that. My sister says, ain't no, don't get ready, gotta be ready. Yeah, no, I'm laughing. I'm laughing like Elder Brasher. You know, he'd be up there laughing. I'm like, Beverly, they laugh a lot. But don't get ready, be ready.
I said that today, brother. I said that today. I said that to my husband today, didn't I, Pastor? He can't get him. Oh, okay. Okay, did you go out? I can't hear you.
Elder Jackson?
It doesn't look like he's connected. He probably got disconnected somehow.
He has left the stage.
He dropped the mic.
He was teaching real good too.
He left the stage.
I hope he didn't get raptured up. Let me check, Jesus.
Try again later.
All right.
I bet his thing ran out. I bet his battery ran out because I'm calling in. It's going straight to voicemail. Uh-oh. Well, Pastor, you.
Well, praise the Lord.
You gonna finish it?
I can tell y'all what happened. This is Renetta. Gerald just called me. He said he got kicked off. Somebody was calling his phone and it was ringing and it disconnected him. So he told me to tell y'all what happened.
Okay. So okay. Maybe he'll get back on. Praise the Lord.
Is he gonna get back on?
I assume he will, and if he will, he'll make himself known. I hope.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, get back on.
My niece called me, and it knocked me off. It knocked me off. Y'all pray that I give me a laptop. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Did y'all enjoy it?
But you got to finish telling us about.
What, amen. What? I did doing good teaching.
What I got to finish telling you about what now?
Thank you,
Renita.
What you said about me? I'm telling you, yeah. when you say you can't be ready, gotta be ready, not get ready.
Oh yeah. That's my sister. Yeah, I did. That's funny. I did say that. But I think I'm about done. Should I end in a prayer, Pastor, or are you gonna have somebody else pray?
Well, I was supposed to get the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'll bring you back on for final words and closing prayer.
All right.
I don't have much to say. Great job. Uniquely anointed. Brought out a lot of points that we need to focus on. About the importance of the word and hiding the word in our heart, and what's the benefit of hiding the word in our hearts. And toward the end, he was talking about hiding the word in our hearts and studying the word helps us to get close to God. And when we are close to God, we have more boldness. Hallelujah. And he said that when he is not close to God, and I can attest to this too, that you're very insecure because you don't have that connection. Just like he was probably feeling insecure, Gerald was when he got cut off the Zoom. But now he's back on, and he just look happy and old and everything else. The word was really rich tonight. I think he really blessed the church tonight. I'm thankful. I meant to mention on Monday night that we are not having prayer meeting next Monday night because it's Memorial Day. And I want people to spend time with their families. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Jackson. Final words, prayer, as the Lord would lead.
Amen. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to teach, because it helps me as much as it helps whoever's listening, but it helps me the most because it's God's doing
everything. Elder, I would suggest you let the people say something if they want to say something.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's fine.
I would like to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the teaching. When you got cut off, I thought you got raptured, so I had to check myself and start repeating, make sure I didn't get left. But I'm glad you're back, so that means I still got time. But amen, I love you, Elder. I do. I love you. Amen.
Thank you.
Hey man, I enjoyed it too. It's really good. Learned a lot. Thank you.
Don't get ready. Be ready.
I went to this school place where I'm trying to get a job and I didn't tell me, you know. What if you wanted, you know, you didn't call, you just gonna show up. And I said, yeah, but I'm not gonna talk long. I just want him to have, I've been talking to him on the phone and I've been texting. So I want him to have a face with a body, a face thing. So did I hang up? As Russell said that, you know, you have to watch that. And I said, well, he said, he might want to interview you, then what? I said, I'm ready. Cause like I said, you can't get ready, you gotta be ready. So he laughed. That's what I was saying.
Elder Jackson, this is Sister Carol. I want to say I enjoyed the message too.
Thank you.
You had and you had some humor with it too. You know, so we a good Bible study and everything.
Thank you.
I agree with you. It is so important, you know, to read the word and stuff. And that's one of the things the enemy wants us to do is not to read it by working long hours. Then when you get home, you get tired or something like that. Or either there's so many gadgets nowadays, you know what I mean? The TV and the cell phone and the this and that, you know, it's just so many distractions to keep you from the word. And then by the time you get all that done, you know, maybe you only have like about 10 minutes for God, you know, just a little quick prayer, and then now you're tired and you're ready to go to bed. But you spend, you know, so many hours watching the TV, watching the news on your cell phone or doing this, and you just don't put the word as a priority. But like you said, to get close to God, you gotta stay in that word. And then when the storms of life come, if you're not in the word,
right,
you're gonna have a hard, very, very hard time. You're gonna try to get back to God and everything, but it's gonna really be hard. You're gonna be asking all the saints to pray for you, you know, because you haven't been in the word yourself, you haven't been praying. So now the storm of the life come and you know, you just found yourself just all stressed out. And just having a very hard time. Whereas if you stay in the word, if you stay prayed up, it'll help you just to trust God more and everything. And America is getting worse by the minute. So, you know, we're going to have the word. America is turning its back on God. Like you said at the beginning, they think that they can, you know, they can do it without God. They're getting just real arrogant and stuff. So if you don't know the word, you know, you could believe a lie and be damned. If you don't know the word of God, people could tell you just, you know, just anything, you know, but it's so important to have. And like you said, it stops you from sinning, you know, because once you hide it inside your heart, right then when you sin, you know, you feel bad about it. You know what I'm saying? You feel guilty about it. You just want to hurry up and repent. Lord, help me not to fall in that trap again, you know, and that's a good thing because we don't know what day we're not going to wake up. And if you die wrong, you know what I mean? We know where we are going, you know, to the lake of fire and everything. That'll be our family destination. And so it's just so good. It's just a good feeling to be close to God. You know, that just that peace that you just feel in the inside, that joy, even in the midst of your storm. Like I'm going through a storm right now, but you know, but God gives me some, you know, some peace, and He gives me some joy. Don't I sound better than I was that Sunday?
Amen. Amen.
That's the word of God.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Karen.
You're welcome.
Brother Jackson, thank you for the word tonight. A lot of good points that triggered a lot of thoughts for me, and I appreciate that. You know, some of the thoughts that it triggered, maybe I'll be able to use at another point in time. But yeah, a lot of good points there. Point number two. I know your notes were. I didn't get that point number two, but hey, we'll talk about that later. We can go back to point number two later. But don't worry about it. I got all of the points, I think, except for two. But anyway, thank you. I do appreciate the word, all that you went over with us. I do. I'm a note taker, so I got about 2.5 pages. I got two solid pages of notes. Thank you.
Brother Brasher.
Yes, sir.
I write notes and I can't read when I start writing. Like, what did I just write down?
Yeah, one of my big things is I asked the Lord, you're going to have to put this in order. You're going to have to, these notes, and I have to, I don't start off with an outline. Sometimes I can't go by outline. But
yeah.
You know how it is. Lord gives you thoughts, but.
Yeah.
Then I had to ask the Lord to put the thoughts that I've written in my notes in some kind of order. And then as you're doing it, the Lord edits. You edit as you go. a lot of stuff, and you edit it, and a lot of things going on while we're making the presentation. But hey, good job. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pastor.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted you to share with us about, I remember this. It was years ago, and you had a professional decision making concerning your career and how you used the scripture to make your decision. If you could share it real briefly, and that's all. I don't have nothing else to say. If you could share that, then I'll end with prayer.
Okay. Well, I can't do it justice briefly, but I will be brief. Yeah. I'm not going to try to do it justice, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Because this was 31 years ago.
Yeah.
In 1994, when I had an offer from the state attorney general's office, and the question was whether I would stay at my law firm or go to the state attorney general's office. And the Lord put Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28 on my heart. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies, which is something like a badger, are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider or the lizard, some versions say, take a hold with her hands and is in king's places. I'll talk about those last two, which are not the main two, real quick. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth. The locusts go in a swarm and they can accomplish great things, even though they don't have a leader. And the spider take a hold with her hands. The spider is just crawling along, or the lizard is crawling along. But you look up in the king's house, you'll see a lizard or a spider. They find their way to get into some marvelous places. The ants are people not strong. You know how little ants are. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. They get their food ready for the winter in the summer. Hallelujah. and then the Coneys, the Hyraxes, the several. This animal is found in Africa and in the Middle East. And the one in the Middle East, they had in the rocks. They're not, they can be eaten up by a fox or whatever, but they make their houses in the rock. Now, 31 years later, I can't give you the detail, but the Lord showed me that verse 26 about the badgers or conies or hyraxes was my law firm. Verse 25, the Lord showed me, I can't give you the details, 31 years ago. They prepare their meat in the summer. That was the AG's office. It was a steady job. I got a paycheck every week. I mean, whenever payday came, it was a steadying of my career. If I had not gone to the AG's office, I would not be a judge right now. It is that experience of going all over the state, handling the biggest cases in Tennessee history that propelled me to be an eligible candidate for judgeship. Okay. God bless you. Back to you, Elder.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that, man, because I remember that. Thank you. And that's what I was talking about, the Word of God. You sought the Word of God for your career. And I saw that for myself. So anyway, Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for the saints who were online and those who weren't online. Lord, I ask that you bless them and pray for them and keep them, Lord Jesus, in all their ways. Let them be blessed, Lord, and healed. Father, we thank you for the word. Your word is power. Your word is it's a light, Lord. It's a lamp to our feet, Lord Jesus. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces and divides soul and spirit, Lord Jesus. But I just thank you, God of heaven, for this day. This is a day that we've never seen before. Some people have had a tragic thing happen today, Lord. But you have kept us, Lord. You've protected us. Your angels are encamped round about us. You guard our minds, Lord Jesus. You keep us, Lord Jesus, fed. You supply our needs according to your riches and glory. In Philippians, Lord Jesus, we just praise you, Lord, for the growth of our church. We see souls being saved. We're seeing fire, just the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to pray for Brother Grasher's family. Continue to pray for Carol. Continue to pray for the first family, Lord. Oh, God of heaven, continue to pray for Nia. Lord Jesus, all the saints, Lord, those who come, sometimes those who miss. Well, we pray for them, Lord Jesus, and just bless us in this hour, Lord. And we don't care what the world does, Lord. We're protected because we're your children, Lord Jesus. And we have that hope, we have that joy, and we have that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Amen. Have a blessed night, everybody.
All right.
Good night,
love everybody. You. Love you all. With the love of Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Sister Cartwright. Have a blessed night.
Okay, bless you.
Thank you.